And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. And I just had a very interesting thing happen to me. So I thought I wanted to share it because it doesn't happen that often. And I don't think the opportunity arises for it to happen that often. But I did a one-step paint correction or paint enhancement, I guess you could call it, on a black Porsche Carrera, whatever. It's like a 2007, 2008. It's got about 40,000 miles. It's definitely a driver, sits outside. And that's why we settled on a one-step paint correction. And then the customer, so I completed that the tail end of last week, and now we are early into the next week. And the customer texted me over the weekend and said, hey, I'm really thinking about putting a ceramic coating on it. So we went through all the options for a ceramic coating, and we settled on kind of a 2 to 3 year coating, something very basic, but I thought that it fit his needs properly, just like I felt like the one-step paint correction fit his needs based on a whole host of factors, how he maintains it, where it sits at night, the amount of miles. He was thinking about not even keeping it, just a whole host of information that I needed, and then kind of worked through it, and we settled on a one-step paint correction, and it was perfect. You know, it's a 3 to 4 hour job for me. The paint looked really well. There was some deeper stuff in there, but again, based on all these other factors, you know, and I thought, honestly, the car leaving the shop, I thought it looked very good for the service and the price. And so I felt all around really good with it, but my detailer brain saw, or it was hard for my detailer brain to not see all those deeper imperfections, not to just go crazy with a 1-inch polisher. And the reason why I didn't is that his budget didn't allow for me to do that. And in doing so, I would have been doing a disservice to myself, which is a very delicate balance and a very hard balance that I think us as detailers have to kind of battle with every day is delivering an exceptional service that was agreed upon and not going above and beyond too much to the detriment of ourselves or our business. And I think that's a very, very fine line and a very difficult line to kind of teeter. And so, and I personally struggled with that on this black car. And a lot of times we think like, oh, another detailer is going to look at this and pick apart my work and like, you know, tell the customer what a bad detailer I am. And I would say if you worry about another detailer picking apart your work, that detailer is a scumbag and you're not. And so don't do that if you're a detailer either. Don't pick apart other detailers' work. That's weak. You don't know all the information that went into the end result of that detail. And so anyway, sidebar there. I'm not passionate about that at all. And so anyway, I did a very good one-step paint correction on this guy's car. And I will say I did go over it quickly with a polish because I was getting a little bit of hazing and I was teetering that line of going too far, but I did do a light second pass over the whole car. Anyway. So he texted me over the weekend and he says, hey, I'm thinking about doing a ceramic coating. We kind of go through the whole thing. It was a long weekend, so gave us a lot of opportunity to talk about his options. And he settled upon an option. And so I said, great, like, you know, can you bring your car in early next week? Because I want to see that car and coat it before you put a car cover on it, before you run it through a car wash, before you wash it, before you wipe it down, like, before any of that happens, I want to get that car back because I know that I already did a bulk of the heavy lifting. I may have to run over it one more time with some sort of polish, but I need to wash it, you know, maybe go after some of those deeper things and whatever. And so sure, no problem. He booked it for today. It just came in. And when he pulled up, granted, it had been about 5 days since I did the detail, 5 or 6 days. So normally I don't see a car that quickly. And so when he pulled up, I was like, damn, that car looks good. Like, I think I did a better job on the car than I initially thought I did. And then I rinsed it and I washed it and I'm like, crap, this car's super hydrophobic. Like, dude, this car looks phenomenal. And then I had that epiphany of like, holy crap, how many times do we do a better job than we realize we did, but we're so in the moment, like so focused on that car. So we've looked at it for so long. We're so intimate with that car that we know every nook and cranny of that car that it distorts the actual reality of how well that car actually looks. And then I was like, holy crap, what a thought. Like, I need to do a podcast on it. And so that's why I'm doing a podcast on it now. But I just had this thought of like, man, you know, I thought, if I'm being completely honest, I thought I did a good job on the car. And I think I did a good job when you look at all the factors that went into it. But I was so entrenched into that detail and so in it, in the vortex of that car, that I wasn't able to see in reality the car was actually phenomenal. And I'm not tooting my own horn saying that I'm a great detailer. I'm saying just in general, I think we get sucked into this vortex and the job we're doing on the car, we're so hard on ourselves sometimes, but the job we're doing on the car is actually much better in actual reality. And if we took a step back and had the luxury to kind of peek on that same car a couple days later, we would even be stoked with the job that we did on it. So I'm saying, you know, as a recovering detail overachiever, like maybe let's take a step back a little bit and realize that we are doing a phenomenal job and we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. Because when I saw this car come back in today, again, it had been 5 or 6 days and it was dusty. Don't get me wrong. There's definitely dust on it. It was definitely dirty, definitely needed a car wash. But after I did that, I was like, holy smokes, man, this is great. Like I would be stoked on receiving this level of service, all things considered, with the car. It was littered with paint chips. You know, all things considered, I am over the moon about the job I did on this 5 days ago. And so, of course, I did a quick one step over the whole car, wiped it down and coated it. And it was super easy to do, you know, even having that many days of separation. But I just had that epiphany of like, man, what if our reality gets distorted because we're just nitpicking ourselves? And I think there's a room to kind of, you know, create some space, maybe take a break and get your eyes focused on something else and then come back on a car. We might be a lot happier with the end result. So anyway, with that, just wanted to share that. That's kind of, you know, real life, what's going on in my world. So I thought I'd put it out there as a podcast. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Of course, if you're looking at getting more customers, I have a brand new Google AdWords course. You could go to autodetailingpodcast.com and go under training and you could see all my trainings there. By the time you're listening to this, who knows how many I'll have in there, but you have an option for that. That helps support the podcast and support me and help the podcast keep growing and all that fun stuff. So hope you guys can glean some insight from that podcast and take away from it what you will. And I will catch you guys on the next one. See ya.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.